Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. As usual, we have our home port crew, myself, Janice, and Beth and Steve are with us, home port crew. I'm not going to go into too much background on America's Great Loop. Those of you who don't know what it is, you can go to www.greatloop.org and learn all about us. We've got a very dynamic show this morning, so we're going to get started right away. Closing due to the flooding of the Erie Canal and the other canals that are part of our loop has been of particular concern to our members and our listeners. In that regard, we've invited our guest host this week to talk about the situation. We have with us today Director of the New York State Canal Corporation, Mr. Brian Stratton, Deputy Director John Callahan, and Looper Jim Barentine, who was stranded for over 2 weeks when the canal closed due to the flood. At any time during the program, and I encourage our members and listeners, please call in with comments or questions. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. And as usual, we will break during the question period and give a question to our members and listeners. If you know the correct answer to the question of the week, call in, and the first person with the correct answer gets either a one-year extension on their membership, or if you are a new member, you are invited to be our guest for a year. Okay, I think we're going to get started right away. Let's go and spring into it. For our members, the Erie Canal is really an important part of their journey, with most of them passing through during the late spring or early summer. Brian, if you could take us back to just before the storm, what was the condition of the canal and what plans, if any, were there for its maintenance?
Well, first of all, Janice, let me say thank you for the opportunity for us to be on today. We, as I speak to you and the listeners, I am aboard the Erie Canal tug, DeWitt Clinton, and we are just pulling into port here in the lovely city of Rockport up along the Erie Canal, and we are conducting our annual canal inspection tour. So it's a great time for me to be able to talk to you and really give you a firsthand flavor of what it's like here. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. But to answer what you've asked, really, of course, the condition of the canal in the sections that are unfortunately now closed due to unprecedented damage. Certainly was, you know, fine. As you know, we had gone through severe floods roughly in the same area in 2006, but the water that we received from both Tropical Storms Irene and Tropical Storms Lee were far in excess of that. So significant damage along the Erie Canal between Locks 13 in Randall all the way down to Lock 8 in Scotia. But the good news is while those sections are now closed, our governor, Andrew Cuomo, has committed that the canal will reopen on Thanksgiving Day, November 24th, and allow the boaters that have been stranded in the system up until December 8th to get out through the southern end.
That is fantastic. How many people pass through the canal annually? Do you have any figures on that?
Well, I can tell you hundreds of voters come through our system at any given time throughout the summer, throughout the season, whether those are commercial ships, recreational boaters, transitors, people just using the canal daily for whether they're kayaking, boating, and hard to put a exact figure on it, but we estimated that approximately 200 vessels may have been impacted by the by the flooding holdup. Well, one thing is going to happen on Thanksgiving Day. We have at least three larger cruise ships that are going to be able to get out. And we happened on my way out here, we stopped in the Utica Harbor and met with the captain and the crew of the Niagara Prince, which is a 177-foot cruise ship where nearly 70 people sleep overnight and cruise along the canal. Now the passengers have been safely taken off the boat, but the crew and the captain are still on the vessel, and the opportunity for them to exit through the southern end to return to their home port in Rhode Island is going to save them not only the time and the very dangerous or more hazardous route of having to have a vessel of that relatively small size go up through the St. Lawrence River to be able to go out, so save them time, money, and a great deal of financial cost. So we're happy about that.
I hadn't realized there were cruise ships that were also stranded. I'm just picturing our looper boats, you know, 40 feet. And I'm sorry, you said there were about 200 vessels that were in the canal when it closed?
We think about 200 vessels, either through vessels that may be, you know, doing the loop, or those that may be in northern waters for the summer season that may want to get back to Florida or to more southern climes. And when I have to hop off the phone, John can certainly fine tune any of those points. But some of the things that we have been doing is not only for the opening that will come the end of November and through December 8th, we've also worked with our Canadian friends to enable the Canadian Chambly Canal to be able to open stay open for about three more weeks. Normally, it is scheduled to close on October 10th. The Canadian government has agreed to work with the state at the governor's request to stay open until October 31st. So that will provide boaters with the opportunity, if they can't go west to east or east to west along the Erie, to be able to traverse across the Lake Ontario into the Seaway and through the Chambly and down the Champlain Canal. Obviously a much longer route, but certainly a way to ultimately get from point A to point B.
It sounds to me as if Governor Cuomo is totally dedicated and committed to the canal and getting it back open for the boaters.
Well, he absolutely is. And when the governor was the HUD secretary under President Clinton, he committed more than $100 million in economic investment, and we just had the opportunity to see part of his work as we made our way from Holly along the Erie Canal down here a beautiful harbor, showers, restrooms, park-like setting. It really is. We have a tremendous, tremendous economic development asset along the Erie Canal, and we understand from a 2008 study that the New York State Canal system brings about $38 million in economic impact annually. So it's so important for us to keep the canal open, to be able to work with our local officials, the local cities, villages, and towns, and to do all that we can to leverage the economic power of it.
I guess my question would be, it sounds like there is financial assistance for businesses and towns along the canal flooding area.
Absolutely. We, not only through the flooding area, but also we are launching our Canalway grants program, and under the governor and under the regional economic development councils, we have $1.5 million in local grant assistance available for municipalities and not-for-profit organizations, and they are able to get matching grants of between $50,000 and $150,000 for capital projects. So if they want to put in a dock, marina, showers, make improvements to the trailway, those are all types of things that we have done and that we can do, and those are what helps to serve our voters and also help all of the villages and the towns and the cities along the canalway system be able to promote economic development by bringing more people to the canal and more boaters that come along the canal into these communities.
What about financial assistance for the average businessman? I know there's businesses that were hurt badly. They are for profit. Is there any help for them?
Well, certainly we are working through the governor and through the state emergency management office and through FEMA to be able to get every bit of assistance, whether that's through FEMA, through the small business administration. There's a range of emergency services out there, and that's a very separate channel. But certainly, it's what we want to do to be able to help all of the businesses that are in the areas between Lock 13 and Lock 8 that have been impacted. And so that's we're working on certainly parallel paths. But the grant program is really a non-emergency program. It's really there as a ongoing economic development tool outside of any flood damage to help promote economic development.
Thank you. We had a member, Janice? A very prestigious. I'm sorry. Did somebody need something?
Yeah, Janice. This is Jim Barrentine. I wanted
Hi,
to
Jim.
Ask Brian a follow-up question on that last one. What about, this is about the financial assistance for the marinas that were affected. You know, there were marinas affected that weren't damaged but lost business. For example, I was headed to Brewerton to store my boat for the winter. Now there's a marina in Brewerton that's not going to get $2,500 from me to store my boat for the winter. And so there, but Brewerton wasn't affected by the floods. But there, you've got a number of marinas that do a big business in storing boats for the winter that are going to be significantly financially impacted by this.
Well, you may be able, Jim. You may be able to get ultimately out to Brewerton once our system opens back up. If you can wait until Thanksgiving Day. To be able to
get
to wherever you are now.
Well, I've already made other arrangements. I mean, I was stuck in the locks above Waterford, and you know, my boat's now stored down on the Hudson River,
right?
And it's you know, out of the water, winterized, and covered for the winter. So,
well, certainly, if there's an eligible opportunity for businesses that have really been impacted. I'm not sure Brewerton would because while it wasn't impacted by the flood, it's certainly feeling the impact of those who would otherwise have as you were planning to bring their boat there. So I'm not sure about that actually, but that's certainly a good point to raise.
One of our members, in fact, the editor of the very, very popular boating book, Skipper Bob, Ted Skelly, had suggested if it's possible that the canal website could put up some kind of a bulletin board where any interested person could find out what the status of different communities were. Is that something that you might be interested in working together on?
We would certainly do that, and as you know, we put out our notice to mariners every single day. So, listen, I do have to jump off now, but this may be a good opportunity, Janice, for me to turn over the balance of the show to my very, very capable Deputy Director, John Callahan. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk here. I do have to meet up with other local elected officials and to continue to do our work along the canal. But we look forward
serving all of the boaters, and certainly want to thank all of us, all of the loopers for hanging in with us.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll be
you,
opening
Fred.
On Thanksgiving Day, and wish everyone a very, very happy season.
Thank you very much, Director.
Thank you very much, Janet.
I'm going to take in a minute to ask our question of the week, but just one quick question I'd like to just find out. Were any boats lost or damaged at locks during the flood that you know of?
Not, and thanks. I'll repeat what the director said when he got on, Janice. Thank you for very much for the opportunity to be on with you today. We did not have any, as opposed to 2006, we were very fortunate not to have any vessels damaged at any of the lock locations or any of our terminal or municipal walls. We put out notice to mariners well in advance of the flooding on Friday and Saturday, suggesting that boaters get to safe areas, opening up the Waterford Flight, for instance, as a safe harbor, waiving the toll and permit fee requirements, just in an effort to get everybody as secure as we possibly could in advance of the flooding. There were several vessels, a lot of vessels at private marinas that unfortunately were inundated with the floodwaters, and some of the docks were lost and some of the vessels along with them. But as far as our transient customers, as far as the vessels at the locks and terminal and service port and canal harbor locations, we didn't have any serious incidents. So we're very, very fortunate
for that. Great. I think a lot of your preparation and mourning probably went a long way towards that, that good news.
So.
We are going to break for 1 minute and ask our question of the week. Remember, if you give the correct answer and you are the first to call in, you get either a one-year extension or a new one-year membership to AGLCA. The call-in number for the answer is 877-497-1815. Okay, how many locks are there on the St. Lawrence River, Montreal to Lake Ontario? Call in with your answer, and John, we'll get started again. I think this part of the show is really going to go about the damage that was done and how to rectify it. Media reports say that steel components that hold the gates in place were twisted, powerhouses were swept away, machinery used to operate the locks and dams was inundated, and the Mohawk River actually has a new channel. Is this accurate, do you think?
Yeah, it is accurate, Janice, although one clarification, when we talk about the structural members relating to the gates, we're talking about uprights on the movable dams that hold the individual upper and lower dam gates in place, as opposed to the miter gates at the locks themselves. So, you know, we know that there has been talk, well, there's actual structural damage at a number of the lock locations to the lock gates, or to the lock chambers. That is not the case. We're actually in pretty good shape. One ray of light in an otherwise pretty dismal situation, the lock chambers themselves and the machinery at the locks is pretty good. But in terms of the overall damage sustained, that's an accurate synopsis.
Has the dollar value of the damage been quantified?
It has not. We have been, as you can imagine, focusing on getting the canal reopened with a laser-like focus that has involved a few emergency contracts. As Brian articulated earlier, Governor Cuomo and his administration very committed to the canal, to the economic impact that it brings to New York State. Brian did want me to clarify. He believes, he said, $38 million annually, actually $380 million annually in economic benefits related to tourism and canal use. So we are just, at the moment, devoting the necessary resources, working as fast and as furiously as we can, certainly doing all the work correctly. We don't want to go back and redo anything, but we don't have a dollar figure yet on the damage.
I know it's a tough answer if you don't have a dollar figure, but it's New York State is facing the same problems many of our other states are with funding and economics. How are you going to fund this, and can you afford it?
Well, Dennis, that's why we're so fortunate to be under the administrative control of the New York State Thruway Authority. If you look at the foresight of going back to Governor Mario Cuomo to place the Canal Corporation under the overall control and financial stewardship of the Thruway Authority, it was a prescient move in many ways, not the least of which is financing in times like this. It is true that if we were funded out of the general fund, things would look a little more bleak. Obviously, New York State and many states are facing difficult financial times, but we do have the ability to bond, which a state agency would not. We do have toll revenue from the Thruway Authority. We have, so we don't necessarily have the cash flow problem that we would if we were under DOT or another state entity. So we really have the ability to absorb an emergency like this and to start to put the pieces back together. It is certainly the case that if you travel the Mohawk Valley over the next couple of years, it may not be as pristine and the lock grounds may not be as beautifully manicured as you've seen them in the past, but we are going to be fully functional, and that's what we're concentrating on at the moment.
Thank you.
Janice, this is Jim. I have a follow-up question for John. John, so if I understand you correctly, the repairs that you're doing now and will have done by the end of November, these are not temporary repairs that you're going to have to redo later. These are permanent fixes to the broken stuff, right?
That's correct. And that's a great question, Jim, because a lot of the work we're doing now, it's structural work on the movable dams themselves. In many cases, we are removing the uprights, and most of your listeners, hazard a guess to say just about all your listeners will recognize that these uprights are the structures that contain the upper and lower pans at the movable dam gate. So if you look at them, they're essentially a giant two-pronged fork on which the upper and lower pans are raised and lowered by chains at the movable dams. And those uprights, where they have been twisted or manipulated in a way that compromises the structural integrity, will either need to be, and this would be the case whether we needed to reopen this year or next year or at any point, it will need to be either repaired or replaced. We are replacing with having two brand new uprights manufactured. We are rehabilitating roughly a half dozen uprights that we had essentially as spares, and we are going to be able to repair another half dozen or so. So that's not to say that in the future, as we do annual inspections, that additional uprights won't have to be repaired. It won't impact our capital rehabilitation schedule at the locks and movable dams. And certainly, you know, this is an antiquity, the canal system we have today, and needs constant attention. So it's not to say that we won't be back doing work, capital work, at these locations in the future, but it is not designed just to simply try and put a Band-Aid on the canal system to get open for 2 weeks this year. This will be work that we don't have to go back and undo and then do again next year. So we're doing it right. We're doing it quickly, but we're doing it right.
Is that dam repair the biggest work that has to be done?
It is a little bit difficult to say right now whether the dredging you need to do in conjunction with the cleanup slash repair will need to be more expansive and take a little bit longer than those dam repairs. As our schedule goes right now, the dredging is going to be done a few days before our upright repairs are. But it's important to note that even if we've made the repairs to the movable dams and the slight repairs we need to make at the lock locations, that if we have an 8-foot depth, controlling depth, let's say for argument's sake, we'll still be able to open up, keep those dredging operations going, and simply put notice to mariners out that says what our depth is at that moment. my hope and my belief is that we're going to be at no worse operational depth than we were before the flooding event by the time we open up. But if there is an unknown at this point, or at least a variable, I would say it's probably the dredging component of this repair work.
And the dams we're talking about, these are 100-plus-year-old structures, right?
Yeah, they were construction began on these structures in 1905. They were based on a design that had been in use on several waterways in Europe in the late 1800s. And you're right, it was space-age technology at the time, and it still works pretty well today. So it's one of the many things that makes our system historic. There's no question about that.
Janice, one thing I want to make a comment before we run out of time here. This is Jim. That you know, we were one of the boats that was stuck. We were immediately above Lock 2. For those people who know, there were seven of us there. And I believe there were 9 boats up at Lock 3. And though we were stuck there for 2.5 weeks, it was amazing how the Canal Corporation and the town of Waterford took care of us. I mean, the Canal Corporation got their own electricians down, even on weekends, to run power so that all of us had at least some power. It might not have been as nice as a marina, but it worked. And to get water to us and to allow us to use the showers and restrooms that are normally for the lock tender personnel. The town of Waterford ran up one of their buses that they normally use to take senior citizens around. It came twice a week. You know, it took us to the grocery store and the hardware store and the liquor store, and any number of townspeople stopped by. Even people we were amazed, people who'd had their houses flooded, 4 or 5 feet of water in their houses, you know, came by to see if we were all right. So it was pretty impressive, the support that we got from both the Canal Corporation and the town.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Sometimes New York State and its residents don't get very good press, but it's wonderful to hear that the people, that's what boating is all about, and it's just wonderful that the towns along the Erie Canal took care of the boaters. It's just a great, you know, it wasn't a great experience, but it was made great by the people who helped.
Janice, let me thank Jim for that very kind comment. You know, as the Deputy Director of Canals, I'm also a Waterford resident, but I think, you know, the experience you find there is indicative of what you find all along the canal corridor. A good friend of mine and a canaler, Tom Beardsley, uses the line that if you think of New York State as a community, then the canal is the sidewalk that makes it a neighborhood. And I think that's true. Wherever you go, there are people that look out for one another. We all feel like we're connected and sort of there's a pervasive feeling that we're all in this together. So very, very kind comment, and I would certainly agree. We tried our best to have people feel like they were welcome and that we were looking out for them.
Well, we all thank you for that. Just two questions. We are running out of time, so I have one thing I wanted to ask. It just seems like these major floods seem to happen every 5 years or so, 2000, 2006, 2011. Are there any plans for changes to operations or structures to be better prepared next time?
Well, we're certainly looking at that. Any time an event happens, Janice, that causes this much damage, I think it's incumbent upon us to go back to the drawing board and see what's working well, what can be updated. Obviously, there are, when you get into major, I said before how fortunate we are to be under the financial stewardship of the Thruway Authority. When you talk about major infrastructure reconstruction, redesign, you talk very, very big money, and I don't know that's the sort of thing that's required anyway. There are maybe some engineering improvements that we could incorporate into the existing system. Every event like this teaches us a little more. So certainly as we repair the damage that's occurred, we'll also be looking not to close the door on any future improvements that we might be able to make. But I don't have any specific plans, proposals, or scenarios that are being discussed just yet.
Thank you. Last, but of utmost importance and interest to our loopers, we're being a little self-serving, but are we going to be able to loop next year? Is there any idea yet of opening date for the canal and hope for the future of our loop? There are other routes that can be taken, but the Erie Canal is just one of the favorites. And what is our status for next year?
Status looks great. We'll be opening May 1st, unless we have other weather that instructs us differently. Obviously, the opening date is always subject to weather, so
mm-hmm.
we may have events that delay it. But as far as our schedule for repairs, what we know we need to do, as far as the work that we're going to be doing this year, as far as any potential delays in capital construction work that would be going on over the winter and potential impacts into the spring, those have all been looked at, and we will be ready to go on May 1st. Other conditions, obviously, and weather permitting, but we're feeling very confident about that. We're looking forward to putting this year behind us and having a great year next year.
Thank you. That's wonderful news for everybody.
Yep. And I just wanted, if I can just add one thing.
Sure.
Jim's comments were great. You have so many great members that we talk to individually on a regular basis that we've communicated with as best we can, but we can't talk to everyone. So one of your members has been very, very helpful to us in getting the word out, and that's Fred of Tug 44 fame. And we just want to give a shout out to Fred for helping us as our sort of volunteer ambassador, getting the word out to some of your members.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. I guess we're done. I want to thank Director Stratton. John, would you please pass on our thanks again, and thanks to you very, very much. Anyone who wants more information, remember our shows are archived at www.greatloop.org. If you'd like to become a member, you can go to that site also. And everyone have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.